Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise, your inspiration station. We're happy to have you this morning. Thank you so much for stopping by. We truly appreciate your presence. Today, we are discussing Beyond Desire. Oh boy, hold on to your hats. It's going to be a good discussion this morning. We'd love for you to reach out to us at 855-454-5905. I'm Tiffany Bacon. I'm your co-host, and here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, Tiffany, or should I say Tiff?
Hey.
Thank you so much. You could have been anywhere else, and you decided to join us, and we're going to have a great conversation today talking about Beyond Desire here on Marriage Beyond the Vows. I am your host, Marcos Mercado, and we're going to start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this day, for this morning, for this opportunity to grow, opportunity to learn, opportunity to see things in a different light, Father. I do pray that you just make yourself known to us. Give us a double portion of your Holy Spirit, God, so we can, whatever we go through, God, we can see through your eyes, Father. We can see that no problem is bigger than you and that you can do all things, Father. We love you. Please be with us in a special way today. In Jesus' name, amen. And our theme scripture comes from Psalm 37. I'm going to read verse 3 and verse 4. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And what I want to do is I want to encourage us. Listen, we have desires, and we're honest. Whether you're single, you're married, you want to be married, you used to be married, and you're listening to the show, chances are you have desires, right? And we got to start off by being open, being honest about the desires that we do have. You know, they might be sexual desires. They might be emotional desires. They might be financial desires. I mean, there are deep things that we want. And I think what we need to do is figure out, are these desires pleasing to God, or are they going to destroy my relationship with God? Because there's a difference. Now, contrary to what we believe, God does want to give us our desires, the desires of our hearts, as long as they don't contradict his word. So we want to go ahead and get into a conversation. Tiffany's going to give you the number. We're going to have some conversation, even Tiffany and I right now, just about, you know, what are some things that maybe we are desiring out there as singles, as marrieds. I mean, let's talk about it, but we absolutely want to hear from you.
And the number is 855-454-5905.
All right. So Tiffany, I was thinking about this. All right. So from a single perspective, especially in the church, I don't think we talk about it enough, but you know, Paul makes it real clear. He says, it's better to marry than to burn with passion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, if people are really, if we're singles, and married folks too, but, you know, when you're sitting or you're a single person, you feel like, listen, I have desires. And sometimes, you know, the church might consider, oh, that's just worldly. You know, God is all you need. But it's like, no, if you look scripturally, even though God was with Adam, he wasn't going to meet all his needs. He created a woman to meet all those needs. So God didn't make us, in terms of our human desires, to have a desire for the opposite sex, you know, to have that desire. Now, we're not going to get into the conversation of same-sex attraction and all these things. I mean, we know we're going to follow what the scriptures say. But looking at scriptures and how God says, you know, a man is not good for man to be alone. He creates a woman. And he, you know, it's like, man, they can fulfill each other's desires. What is it like sometimes? I don't know if this is where you've been, Tiffany, or if you're honest about your desires, whether it's, hey, you're looking for a good looking man. You're looking for a man that has a career, money. You have physical desires, emotional desires. I mean, what are some of the responses when you tend to be pretty honest and blunt, like, hey, what about that guy? No, I don't find him attractive. And you know, what are some of the responses? Because I think sometimes I even been guilty of it in the church. We can try to figure out, well, if that's your desire, that could be worldly. And I want to have a conversation about this. Like, is it worldly? Is it wrong? Is it right? Like, let's have this conversation. But for you, like, what has been your response when you've been honest about your desires?
Well, honestly, I've learned over the years that I'm most attracted to a guy that I really, really connect with. Like, it's, and it's not, and it's weird because I don't have a specific look. Like, he doesn't have to be dark skin, light skin, super tall, super short, heavy or thin or anything like that. Like, that's not a specific requirement.
Okay.
Like, I prefer a guy that, I guess you would say, is strong in some way.
Okay.
Strong in spirit, strong physically.
Not a wimp, weakling.
Yeah, and that whole, the weak thing, I guess for me is, I don't want to feel like I have to run the show.
Sure, sure.
You know, I have
to
start the conversation.
Well, you're a strong woman.
You
don't want a weak man, right? You want someone at least hold his own. And
I also talk for a living, so I don't want to feel like it is my job to be the starter of conversation. You know, so that kind of is like an issue for me because I'm like, there are times when I just want to listen. I don't want to have to talk all the time. So that's definitely part of a desire. And then, of course, the other stuff, the physical stuff, that all comes into play if I'm captured, like, emotionally, mentally.
No, that makes sense. And I think, you know, for me, Tiffany, I think it got to a point in my single life, and I enjoyed being single, by the way, and then I got to a point, I'm like, I'm tired of these lonely nights. I'm tired of these relationships that, you know, and I had some great friends and even some great dating relationships that I didn't know if they were going to be the person I would marry. So I was like, you know what? I want to start a family. I want a great woman that loves God, loves me, would love to have children. You know, that was definitely my desire. But I also had some very specific things that some people might find worldly. Like, it was very important that my wife knows how to cook. And that might sound like, oh, that's chauvinistic or women belong in the kitchen. No, it's not like that. I cook as well. But there's just something about, you know, my family and us sitting down having dinner and my wife just really throwing down. I mean, I love that. Mm-hmm. And that was important for me. Now, I'm not saying that would have been an absolute deal breaker if God would have sent someone my way and she just didn't. But at least she would have had the desire to learn how to cook. Not like, hey, we're just going to microwave or order out, you know. And so I feel like I'm absolutely blessed. But there were some specific things that I needed, that I wanted. I think also, you know, a physical desire of, man, I want companionship. I want someone, even sexually. Hey, I want someone that's going to be there with me and meet my needs because, you know, it's hard. It's hard to, you know, many of you are listening right now and you're single. You know, it's hard to be alone, but then you don't want to compromise and say, hey, what if I make a mistake? I was talking to a young brother just the other day and he's trying to make a decision if he's going to marry this woman or not. And he's like, man, what if I regret my decision? And I think too many times we look at the negative instead of like, hey, what are all the pros? Let's look at this. And now you got to count the cost. So we want to go ahead and give you the number beyond desire. What are your desires? Are they fulfilled in your marriage? Are they not? Are you single and you have desires? I would love to hear from you and get in on this conversation. We also want to invite you to visit us. If you've not done this already, go to Facebook and visit us on our Facebook page, Marriage Beyond the Vows. And Tiffany's going to give you the number again in just a moment. We will take a break, but we'll give you the number, give you an opportunity to call, and we'll be back.
All right. So like Marco said, what are your desires as a single person, as a married person? Are your desires being met in your marriage? Give us a call, 855-454-5905. So I guess we're going to take a brief pause, but don't worry. We'll be right back with more conversation after this. Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We are in the midst of a conversation about beyond desire. What are your desires as a married person, as a single person? And are your desires being met in your marriage. So reach out to us. Give us a call. 855-454-5905. We are Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. So we look forward to your call. Let's go to Terry calling in from New Jersey. Terry, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good morning,
how are
Terry.
You?
Terry. Great. And if everyone else was just, can you hear me now? Terry?
Hello?
All right, oh, Terry, can you hear us?
Hold on 1 second.
Hey, Terry. Yeah, are you there?
Hi. How are you?
Great. Well, welcome. You just called in to Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we're talking about Beyond Desire. What is your comment or question for us, Terry?
I have both. I'm just trying to figure out. My question is, when do you, like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know how you go about, I made a big mistake. Me and my wife haven't been married long. We've been going through the same trials before we got married. We only was in a relationship 2 years next month. We've been married for 8 of those months.
Okay.
I drive a tractor trailer. I call my wife, she'll answer the phone. I've been over backwards. I did everything she wanted me to do in this marriage and relationship, from getting rid of friends to doing this and that. You know, I can't get her to do anything. I can't get her to stop with social media. I can't get her to cook more. I can't get her to listen more. And finally, this past week, it was a disaster. It was so much of a disaster that she's not here. My stepdaughter's not here. And I said some things. She said some things. But the thing about it is, I never said anything crazy to her until this week. And now I'm feeling crazy because I know my marriage is over. And it's like, okay, well, how much more was I supposed to take? Because she told me I'm not mentally stimulating her. I'm like, honey, I'm trying to mentally stimulate, and I'm also trying to get this money, pay for this house.
Sure.
And it's like I was just not being heard, man. You know, I married a beautiful woman, and we're from Newark, New Jersey, and I moved us out here to Willingboro, close to Philadelphia, and it's like, man, she's still stuck in Newark, man.
Okay.
And I just couldn't. I'm like, now I know I'm gonna end up in a divorce. I know I am, because I know she's headstrong. She, and the way she is, I could forgive her 10 minutes after that argument, but I don't get that from her. So now I'm just like, was I wrong? But I know I was right. I know how I feel when I'm driving that truck up and down those mountains every day.
Well, a couple of things, Terry. Number one, I just want to commend you for just being honest and talking about your situation. Why did you marry your wife? I mean, you mentioned you've been together 2 years, and then you've been married 8 months.
I married her because before her, I have a son. His mother bodied me with the things she did. And I met her, and she came to me. She was talking about the Lord, because I really didn't know the Lord that well. I knew God, mm-hmm. but I wasn't like, I knew, let me not say I didn't know the Lord. Let me say I wasn't, I don't know, I guess I was one of them straddle the fence people. I loved mm-hmm. God, but also was in the world.
Okay.
And so she came and, stop, Prince. She came and, she was different than what I was used to dealing with, where we're from. And I thought, you know, it's like, I'm not going to say she put up a facade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to disrespect her and say that, but I'm going to say that she wasn't, and her spirit is, it's like she go to church, she all in for 3 hours.
I hear you.
The other six
but
days,
but that doesn't answer my question. So was it because?
Why did I marry my wife? I love my wife. I thought this was what God was giving me after I went through the situation with my son's mother. And that's why I married her.
Okay.
I mean, we had problems. She always talked slick. She always did crazy stuff. She would disappear for weeks at a time, wouldn't answer the phone, come back. Disappear,
okay.
Get mad, come back. I mean, I played that cycle with her for 2 years, and then the other day, man, it just like...
Well, a couple of things, Terry. I want you to realize, if it's over, it's not over because of that argument. I want you to know that.
It's not.
And I think that's what you got to look at. It's... And if not, you're going to keep beating yourself up. I think number one, if you know, you study out your scriptures in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about the commitment of love. It doesn't even talk about the emotion. It talks about the commitment and how it's patient and it's kind, and it keeps no records of wrong, right? And so here's the challenge. I think if that's the foundation you had and it wasn't solid and you already knew this is how your wife is, that's her MO. And if she needs an excuse to run, that's your excuse. Now, what you said and was hurtful, I don't know everything it was, but you obviously know that it pushed your wife away. You got to take responsibility for that.
I went in the other day.
Yeah, you messed up. You blew it. You knew that. But I'll be honest with you, Terry. Every single person.
I was also being honest.
Okay, no, that's fine. You could be honest, but you could also be honest and know you're hurting someone. There's a difference between being honest in love or being honest in...
I understand, because it was hurt from both sides, and
Yeah, you were hurt, and you said some really dumb things. All right, Terry, you messed up. All right. However, yeah. it takes more than that. Like if my love, I love my wife. We've had arguments, and if it takes an argument for us to separate or to give up, then there's something wrong with our relationship. And I think that's where you got to go back. Even if your wife came back and said, "All right, let's work this out," you got to figure out how are you going to fix the issue, because the issue is not the argument. The issue is there's something wrong with the foundation, and it sounds like she hasn't committed to being a married woman yet.
She hasn't, man.
And that's probably what the real issue is.
Because I don't want to throw her under the bus, but she hasn't. She wants the financial part, the benefit of the finances, the benefit of saying, "Oh, look, wait, move me," blah blah blah. She don't want to. Man, my wife, I work 5 days a week. I come home, she don't cook. She don't do this. She don't do that. Say something, it's a problem. If I'm not praising her all day, it's a problem.
All right, but let me stop you for a second, Terry. I got you. But don't look at all the bad, right? There's still a reason. You knew this about her, but you married her anyway.
Yeah, I did, man. I did. I just thought that, you know, I love the woman. I ain't even going to stunt. I love the woman, but she's killing me, man.
Well, here it is, Terry. Here's your desire. You want your wife to be a certain way. She's got
to
make a decision.
I just wanted to be a wife, dude. I ain't even put no stipulations on. Yeah. I made a mistake one time of saying, she said, we got an argument. She said, what do you want from me? I said, I just want you, what did I say? I said, I just want you to be yourself.
No, you don't. You don't want that. Man, I'm going to leave you with a scripture, Terry. Terry.
I didn't want to put any.
I got you. But Terry, listen.
You're going to do this. Yo, you're going to do that.
But Terry, can you hear me, Terry? All right, Terry, there's a scripture in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It says we got to deny ourselves and take up our cross. The honest truth, Terry, is if we are ourselves, our sinful nature, there are a lot of things we won't do. I mean, you say how you drive, you work hard. You wouldn't go to work. You wouldn't go to work if you only went if you felt like it. But you do it because you have a commitment, you have responsibilities.
Exactly.
Marriage is the same. Now, I'm not saying that's always. But if you're going to clean, if you're going to give of yourself only when you feel like it, you won't have a marriage. So I want to encourage you, Terry. First of all, you got to figure out what you got to deny yourself of, and understanding that it might not be totally over, but you're going to have to be humble and you're going to have to be patient. And if your wife doesn't want this, you can't make it work. It takes two.
Yeah, I've been trying to dolo, man, for a minute. It's just crazy.
I'm
listening to y'all's show. I'm listening to the gospel. Then y'all's show came on, and it's like it's so ironic that I started pursuing God more, and it's like the more I'm pursuing God, the more I'm seeing things in my wife that I no longer don't want to overlook. And then when I bring them to her, like the other day, I hadn't talked to her. I said, "You need to read Genesis 2:24." She got mad at me.
Yeah. And you know what, Terry?
That started this whole argument that led all the way up until this.
You can't
asking her to read Genesis 2:24.
Well, here's the part. You have expectations that she's not meeting. Terry, I think there are a lot of those needs you're going to have to get from God. Does your wife, you know, does she meet your physical needs? Are you happy with her sexual?
Come on, you know, I married a Cleopatra, man.
All right.
I married something that in our hood in Newark, she walk out the house, it's like all day, every day. I married one of those, man.
Okay, well, here's the thing,
I thought her heart lined up with these scriptures that she could quote at me every day. And
you know what, man? People got to wrestle with their own relationship with God. Terry, I wouldn't totally dismiss it. Maybe she's just really wrestling with her faith. And you're going to have to be patient.
It's a wrap, bro.
All right.
Trying to get my mental together.
Amen,
To maintain, you know, this house and, you know, and it's a wrap, bro. It's a wrap. And I know the power of the tongue and all that, but
yeah.
Like you said, man, these two people got to want it.
You got to want it. But, Terry, I just want to say thank you so much, man. We appreciate
you
sharing your heart. We'll be praying for your relationship, man, and
please
be open
to
what God wants, man. But thank you, my brother.
Take care.
All right. You are listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, excuse me, your inspiration station. We are taking your calls on the topic of beyond desire. What is your desire in your relationship, and is it being met? If you're single, what is your desire and how are you managing it?
Mm-hmm.
So give us a call, 855-454-5905. Let's go to Denise calling in from Philadelphia. Denise, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Denise.
Good morning.
Can you hear us okay?
Yes.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much for calling in. You've obviously called in Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're talking about Beyond Desire. What is your comment or question for us this morning?
My question, you were talking about how, like, when you talk to, like, maybe your pastor or somebody in your church and you desire, like, a husband and you're in a relationship but you're, like, committing fornication, how that is frowned upon and that's called, like, worldly?
I think it's frowned upon because the scriptures call it to be frowned upon. So is this your current situation right now? You're dating someone and you're sleeping with them but you're not married?
Yes.
Okay, so why this person? Is this someone you want to get married to?
Yes.
Okay, so why not wait and do it God's way? The first question would be for me. Why not wait and do it God's way?
I don't know.
Okay. Are you guys living together?
No.
Okay. Does he, both of you, do you feel like you have a relationship with God?
Our relationship with God is different. He is a Muslim and I'm a Christian.
Okay. And he's a Muslim. All right, so a couple of things, Denise. I think number one, do you know what the Bible says about that? Like marrying someone that is not of the same faith.
Being like unevenly yoked.
Yeah, being unevenly yoked. I mean, so you know that. I mean, I don't have to tell you that. And then in addition, I think, let me just break it down for a minute, Denise. I think sometimes people think, well, what's so wrong with someone of another faith? And I think number one, if the Bible, God's word, and the way we look at it as Christians is it's not just God's word, it's his inspired word, meaning that we got to live by this standard. And so if that's not the same standard for him, so for you, Denise, you're not only saying, hey, I'm not going to be obedient to this because I'm being yoked with an unbeliever. I'm going to go a step further, and I'm also going to disobey God by fornicating and sleeping with him. Now, you're saying you're a Christian.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is something that God wants for you? And I'm glad you called in, Denise, because as we talk about desires, we got to be honest about our desires. But then when we're honest, we got to say, does it align with God's word? And if it doesn't, then, hey, we're free to have any desire we want, right? We can do whatever we want. God gives us that freedom, but we can't have that freedom and then have that relationship with God as well.
Right.
So, you know, what do you think God has to say about, you know, I mean, it sounds like you know the scriptures. How do you think God feels about the fact that you're dating someone that's a non-Christian and also that you're fornicating?
I don't think he likes it.
Okay. And so what do you think, what do you expect to happen moving forward? I mean, you're saying you would like to marry this man. You think you'll have a marriage that God would be pleased with and he'll bless?
I don't know. That's where I would think that as long as eventually that we did get married, that he would.
Okay, well, let's say you do. Let's say you get married. How you know this man is going to be faithful to you if, according to, you know, his standard, He's not trying to live by the Bible. I mean, he might just find another future wife or another relationship. How do you know he's going to just be faithful to you?
I don't know that, but that's where the trust would have to come in, right?
Well, yeah, but you're right now, like I'll give you an honest, and I'm just going to tell you, Denise, my wife and I, we waited till we got married, and it was not an easy task. I mean, we're both young, in love, but we're like, we're going to wait. We're going to do this God's way. And the only reason we did is because of the reverence for God's word. Like, if it wasn't for that, I mean, there would have been no reason. And so the same reason after all these years that I'm faithful to my wife, she's faithful to me, is because of God's word. If not, she can trust me as much. I tell you this much, we can't trust ourselves. We can't trust our desires. So you're saying where trust comes in, only, to be honest with you, Denise, the only way I would trust someone is if they're willing to submit to God's word. But it sounds like you're having, you know, you have to wrestle with, are you going to submit to God's word as well? Because according to God's word, you shouldn't even be in this relationship. Now, that's not my judgment. That's what the scriptures say.
Okay, I understand that. But, I mean, I also believe that God could change things. And, like, because I'm a new Christian.
Okay.
So I'm going through a process. So my process is different from everybody else's. So from my past, I have kids already. You know what I mean? And so my process is different. I still take better precautions than I used to.
Okay. Now let me ask you a question. Can you be a Christian and not follow Christ?
Okay, when you put it that way, no.
Okay.
But like I said, it's a process though, because it also like doesn't God meet you where you are? It's not like because I become a Christian, I'm gonna become holy and sanctified.
Yes, you are.
In a day.
Of course, or, you would.
Because it's a process. My life has been a process.
All right, like, I'm gonna give you an example,
like,
Denise.
My trials and my tribulations. So becoming a Christian, is that not a process also that you have to go through with almost everything, like sex or whatever, like if you were a drug addict or anything? It's a process to stop doing it.
I don't know. That's not what I read in the scriptures. I mean, that process thing, I mean, are we always going to be working on sin in our lives? Yeah, of course. I mean, we're never going to be perfect, but there's a difference between sinning and sinning deliberately. There's a difference. You mentioned being a drug addict. I mean, I can't be like, hey, I'm a Christian, and then right after church, I'm going to go look for my dealer so I can go buy and get high and then go back to church. Like, I mean, something's wrong. Now, does that mean that I in my whole life I'll never fall? No. I mean, we all struggle. We all fall, but there's a difference. And I think... I'll just read this to you. Let me just share Jesus and his words, right? He says, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 30, he says, and if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Jesus' attitude about sin is pretty radical. It's not a process. It's not like, hey, I used to, you know, mug people, rob people at gunpoint every day. Now I just do it about once or twice a week. It's like, hey, I used to do this. I don't do that anymore. I'm a Christian. And I understand the process, but this is where the process would be. The desire might still be there. So let's say at this moment you make a decision, hey, I'm not fornicating anymore. That doesn't mean that tomorrow you might not wake up and be like, man, I'm really tempted. I'm really struggling. That's where you have to grow. But to deliberately give in, I mean, it takes a deliberate, you know, you're deliberately dating this man. You deliberately have to go somewhere, do this, and you're still in that relationship, and you're feeling okay. You can't just say, Denise, hey, because I'm a baby Christian. You know what God wants for you to do. And if you decide to trust him, you will see how God will work in your life. Maybe this man would change, like you said. Can anyone change? Absolutely. Maybe if he saw your conviction, he would change. Or maybe if he doesn't, there's the right guy that God has for you, but you'll never see it because you're not willing to trust him. And you know, it's your choice. I mean, you know, you don't have to listen to what we're saying, but it's God's word. If you're saying you're a Christian, you got to be obedient to his word, because that equates trusting him. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. It just, that's kind of like how I feel about how people... Christianity and God and all that. It's like, I understand when you're a Christian, you're supposed to be obedient to God. But if you weren't obedient to God before, just because you start seeking him, doesn't mean you're just automatically going to become obedient.
So let me just use this example. I'm going to use a marriage example. So Denise, you want this relationship, right? And you get married. And there's an expectation, right? And he goes and he cheats on you. And he says the very same thing. He's like, hey, just because we're married, I mean, I used to sleep around with a lot of women. You can't expect me just to stop and change all of a sudden. It's going to take time. What would you say? Would you be okay with that?
No, I wouldn't be okay with that.
But that's exactly what you're saying about your relationship with God. You're like, hey, God, because, and you make sure, please, that your radio is completely off. We're getting some feedback there. But what you're basically saying is, because, you know, I can't expect just to change radically. It's like, no, there's some things you can right away. You stop. Now, again, that doesn't mean you don't struggle with them. You know, I used an example earlier and I was like, hey, I wasn't going to get into the same sex discussion. But some people, you know, you can be of the same sex attraction and repent. That doesn't mean those desires are going to go away. You can have a desire to fornicate and repent. And that doesn't mean the desire is going to go away, but you won't act on it because you love God and you're serving him. Denise, I really appreciate it. I think this is a great conversation. I hope and pray that you know, become obedient to his word. Listen to this and study out Matthew 5 for yourself. These are the words of Jesus as he's preaching the commitment that it takes to follow him. All righty?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise. God bless.
If you're just tuning in, it's Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We are talking about beyond desire. What are your desires in your relationship? Are they being fulfilled? What say you? Do you have any questions about it? Do you need Marcos to help you, give you some guidance? Now is a good time to call. 855-454-5905.
You know, I just want to kind of go back a little bit to the conversation we just had with Denise. And I mean, I'm very grateful that she decided to call. Some people will go through that and they'll never pick up the phone and call. Mm-hmm. And so I'm grateful just to even be able to have that conversation. But we got to go back to the God's word. I mean, it's God's word. It's not what the church is saying or what the minister says, but God makes it really clear. I mean, we got to change our ways. We can't be okay with that. Now, Tiffany, I just wanted to have a brief conversation. I know we have some callers, and we'll take mm-hmm. this call in just a moment. But there is a big difference between sinning and sinning deliberately. And mm-hmm. I don't know if everyone caught it, but even giving that example to Denise of when you have a relationship, whether it's a relationship with God or a relationship with a person, there's always expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only perfect person is your relationship with God, right? So there's, mm-hmm. you know, if you ever have an argument with God, mm-hmm. you're wrong. I mean, he's never wrong, right? Mm-hmm. But when it comes to someone else, I mean, we're not perfect. We're going to have to figure things out. But there's a big difference between someone deliberately doing something. I've seen couples survive infidelity. Mm-hmm. I've seen couples survive a lot of things. I mean, horrible things.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that you would see in common with every single one that mm-hmm. made it is at some point they surrendered mm-hmm. and they repented.
So isn't too, because I was hearing what the young lady was saying, and isn't there, though, a difference or a fine line, I should say, between that a situation where it's like a drug-like situation? So if someone is hooked on drugs, you know, there is a physical response. You know, there is exactly. a chemical response in your body, and you can't just in a day
cold
say,
turkey.
I'm, yeah. But some people can. Some people have that fortitude. Most people do not. So if you're in a situation where it has become cellular, where it's like I'm so hooked on this person or hooked on this thing or this activity or whatever, where it becomes like I'm having withdrawal symptoms that yeah. I can't overcome, wouldn't that constitute like the process that she was talking about? Like I absolutely have a physical reaction that I can't deal with if I don't do this thing.
Well, let's use a drug as an example, right? Let's say someone who's highly addicted to a drug mm-hmm. and, you know, number one, pretty much everyone realizes that at that point they're powerless.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether they're Christians or somewhere, they're like, man, I can't do this on my own. I need a higher power, mm-hmm. which we know for us is God, is Jesus. That's what the scriptures teach. You know, that's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't. It's not us anymore. And then we need other relationships, people that are going to help us.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same for everything else. So in this case, let's say there's someone that you are idolizing, that they're more important than God. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're going to have a relationship with God, you have to decide, okay, I got to cut this off. Now, will it be painful? Yes. I mean, will you have withdrawals? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so this would be the example. Let's say, Tiffany, you came to me and you said, I've been fornicating. I've been with this guy. I know he's not a Christian. I know he's not right for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not a good situation. And I really want to repent. But man, I every time I just keep thinking about him, I want to mm-hmm. call him. He calls me over. I mean, man, what do I do? And I'm like, well, you got to cut it off. So the first thing you do is you change your phone number. Let's mm-hmm. say, so you can't call you defriend him from social media. You do that, but he's still, you know, he's after you. You're desiring him.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to struggle. I mean, they're going to be those lonely nights that you're like, man, I just want to call him. Mm-hmm. I just want to see how he's doing. But if you resist that and you depend and you go to God
mm-hmm.
and then you go to your friends, I think that's when it'll become clear. Like, right. Wait a minute. Why am I doing this for a person? And I know they're not good for me. Now, I'm not saying every situation is like this. It could be a situation where you're great for each other. Maybe you should get married. But if you know that person is coming before God,
mm-hmm.
something's wrong.
Yeah, I totally get that. I was just hearing what she was saying, and I can remember a time in my life where, you know, there was at least one guy where it was a physical,
yeah.
like, He totally wasn't good for me, but I had a physical reaction like he was a drug of some sort. Mm. And it took a while, like a long while, for me to step away from that because I literally had a physical response. And it was one of those, like, everybody's not going to have friends that are going to hover over you like if you were in a counseling session, you know, and just call you every 5 minutes.
This is
like,
what I want
hey
you to
girl,
look at.
Read the scripture. Called, you know.
I hear you 100%. And it's called limerence.
Okay,
look it
that?
Up. It's limerence. It's that strong. It's scientifically been proven. It's a strong mm-hmm. emotion that you have the desire for this person. It doesn't last forever.
Mm-hmm.
It actually happens very often when someone's having an affair, believe it mm-hmm. or not, because it seems so like forbidden so bad and it's interesting. We'll talk more about it. Let's go ahead and take this call. I'll tell you a little bit more about limerence. We've talked mm-hmm. about it before, but if you know you have access to Google whatever and or you listening out there, just look it up. It's LIMERENCE, limerence, and mm-hmm. you would find out what it is. We're going to have more conversation about it. Let's go to Terry. This time is a female Terry, so it's mm-hmm. not the same Terry from before, and I believe she's calling in from Philly.
Terry, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, good morning. I have a question. I am married, and I have been married for 23 years. Been with my husband. We were living together prior to us being married. I was not saved when I got married. However, I got saved, and of course, have been saved now for about 20 years. And
okay.
Still trying to be obedient to God's word. I look at my marriage now, and even though I've tried and still is trying to do what God would have me to do and to be the best wife that I can be. However, I feel as though now my marriage is lost. I've been to counseling a couple of times. My husband has a very bad gambling problem, have us in debt. I'm trying to work Rob Peter to pay Paul to mm-hmm. keep our bills together to keep us afloat, and the more I struggle, the less he does anymore. And so my question is that there's no desire there. I think I've lost that desire, even though I've tried, mm-hmm. but it's not there because I felt as though is that my covering is no longer there.
Okay.
To where, as I think as a wife, and we just basically look for our husband to cover us, to be our backbone.
Okay.
And it's two-handed fold where we have to cover one another, is because that's what God would have me to do. And even yeah. in this situation, I have not left because I don't want to do anything out of the will of God. I've never cheated. And I know my husband has, and I'm not worried about that. I'm past that. But I feel as though now, until I'm to the point where I feel like I'm so broken
mm-hmm.
and I'm so hurt and disappointed and where he's gotten me now, and I'm so afraid that he's in so much debt. I had no idea that this man was in $50,000 worth of debt. I had no idea until the bill collector started calling, and so I'm telling him, well, file bankruptcy, maybe do this, but still trying to keep our home. And now sure. to the point where I don't know whether the debt that he's in is going to lose our house. So I'm still trying to pay the bills, do what I need to do, and still save for that emergency time just in case if it does happen. So
yeah.
I'm kind of lost, and I was just listening to you guys, and I listen to you every Saturday morning while I'm at work, and I said, I'm not going to call. And God said, it's time to get some kind of advice. I've been to counseling,
yeah.
My husband is not changing. It's not going to change, and he has to want to. I don't care.
Yeah.
We can go to 1,000 counselors.
Of course, of course.
The same thing, but if you're not willing to change yourself, it will always remain the same. And so,
okay.
I don't know.
Let me interject, Terry. First of all, thank you. And I think you're being very courageous, very brave, and I commend you. I believe we're all very encouraged by your commitment. I mean, you're talking about over 20 years. You're putting up with a lot, and your husband is definitely messing up. He's blowing it. I mean, big time, financially, spiritually, even emotionally. I mean, you're right. And I don't get that you're necessarily complaining. I think you're just stating a lot of facts, and you're being honest about how you feel. I'm sure you've had some good moments as well, but I know that there are some issues there. So I think a couple of things, Terry. I think first and foremost, whenever you go through hardship, and this is for any situation, any time, we got to have God's perspective. We got to have a spiritual perspective. It's almost like, hey, why am I going through this? Like Paul being in prison, or even John the Baptist, who ended up never leaving prison. You know, he was beheaded. It's like, God, there must be a reason. You know, Job, when everything was taken away, it's like, it has God's perspective. And that's hard to do. And that only comes from fighting for your relationship with God. I mean, I've been through hard times and I don't understand, but I have to be able to get to the point where not just mentally, but in my heart, I'm trusting God that he's got this.
And you know what? I know that God has this. It's because I pray and I trust God with my whole
life. I hear you. And Terry, let me keep going. Let me finish. So I think that's the first point. And you do sound surrendered, but then you're also like, hey, here's the solution. I mean, here's the challenge, right? And you want solutions. I think, number one, you're going to have to figure out what you can and cannot live with. There is such thing, and of course, we don't always recommend this, but there are times where you got to have some kind of intervention and say, listen, this is not what I signed up for. That doesn't mean, Terry, that we're saying you divorce your husband. But sometimes separation is important to say, listen, unless you're going to get honest and we're going to work through this together, because you know what would happen? You'll get through this somehow, and he won't learn the lesson, and he'll do it again. You know, even if you filed bankruptcy, I mean, there have been many people who filed bankruptcy, got back on their feet, and then got into a bunch of debt again. Like, that's not the solution, right? We know the solution is a heart issue. Right. And I think you're going to have to figure out what you can endure and what you can't. And if you can't, the Bible says, you know, in 2 Corinthians, you know, you can separate. Now, that doesn't mean you could remarry. You can reconcile with him, but sometimes people need to kind of realize, wait a minute, I've done really messed up here. And this is the consequence of my sin. Now, how am I going to fix this? You say you've been to counseling, you've been to this. He has to want this, but you can't enable him anymore. You got to be able to be honest and say, listen, this is crazy. I can't live this way. There's no security in living that way. And that's what it sounds like. You have a deep desire to just feel secure. Now, it's different if, God forbid, you know, he got hurt, lost his job. That's different. But I think it's more because he's not being upfront and honest. And then all of a sudden it's like, bam, you haven't been sharing this. There's a lot more going on there.
There's a lot more going on. And I've tried to be supportive. I've tried to be as honest as I could. It's because I feel as though honesty is the best way. And I've said, and I've talked, and I've said, okay, I'm tired, I'm going to leave. And then when I go to leave, I look, we're okay. I feel sorry, because now it's like, okay, here's this house that we have, we can't afford to pay, and thank God that I don't have a mortgage anymore.
Okay.
But just the fact of it is that, okay, where does what I've worked hard for, even when he couldn't contribute, where does that go?
Well, that's why the Bible says, you know, we have to store our treasures in heaven, because everything here is temporary. Now, that doesn't mean we want to lose it all here. But at the end of the day, you realize that, you know what? It's not worth losing your salvation, losing your soul. So you got to make sure you still are forgiving and loving in this relationship. Terry, I just want to say thank you. We do have to go. We have to take a quick break. I think this has been some great conversation. We'll be praying. I mean, I think it's heavy in our hearts. It sounds like you're going to be okay, because you are depending on God through this.
Thank you.
Just keep seeking him through this, okay?
Yes, thank you.
God bless. Thank you, Terry.
All right, take care. Let's go to Sam. We're going to start off with Sam calling in from Philadelphia. But Sam, good morning. You're live on the air. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Sam, just going to give you a heads up. We are going to have to take a break shortly. So if we have to cut you off in the middle, don't be upset.
We're going to have to cut you off, Sam, but we want you to come back. We're just going to take a break in a moment. You mentioned to our producer, Larry, that you had a comment about being unequally yoked.
Yes. I was calling on behalf of the young lady. She seems to be, seemed like she was searching for an answer.
Denise, right?
And excuse me?
Denise. Her name was Denise, I believe.
Yes.
If you call us.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And my comment is to let her know that to encourage her to stay with the Lord, because you are a babe in Christ when you get saved, and you don't change right away. You don't change right away. It doesn't happen right away, but you stay in the Word, you stay under the anointing, and you allow God to fix it. You can't change a man.
But But what happens, Sam? What happens when it doesn't sound like she's willing to surrender yet? Like that. That's different than being a baby in the Lord. Like she knows what the scriptures say. I mean, she even quoted it. Remember when I asked her about what does she think God thinks about this? And
yes.
And she knew. Like, I didn't even have to show her about being unequally yoked. But she, not only is she struggling, I think there's a part that she hasn't surrendered. There's a difference.
Yes, it is. But I remember when I first got saved, I was living with my kid's father.
Okay.
And sometimes we as Christians, we forget where we came from. Mm-hmm. You know, and we do. We forget where we come from and where the Lord has brought us from. Yes, we use scripture. It's to give advice. But you know what? Testimony is sometimes more powerful.
So tell us, Sam. So what happened?
So the thing I'm trying to say is, I was with my kid's father for 14 years. When I first met him, then I got saved. When I got saved, the Lord separated us. You know, I mean, I stayed in the Word. I stayed under the anointing. I stayed in the church, and you know, and I just let the Lord do it, and He did it. Sometimes mm-hmm. when you don't know, you're not for sure, you're confused. It's just, you know, I'm just telling her just stay in the Lord.
No, I hear it. You want to encourage her. You want to encourage her.
We can't say, you know, it sounds like to me, I'm on the other end. I'm on the other end sitting in the congregation.
Okay.
So I I've been where she's at. But he didn't want to get saved. I couldn't change him. He kept running around doing what he wanted to do. But guess what? I had to depart. I had to leave myself from there. It's a growing process.
I know,
right?
But what happened?
It is a process.
Did you surrender or did you stay living with him, not being married? What did you do?
Yes, and the Lord had to do it. But I stayed in the church. I stayed in the anointing.
And Sam, that's not an example. That's not a testimony.
Listen, it's just like when you first get saved,
okay.
and you accept God. You're not going to drop cigarettes right away. God has to take the taste away from you when you get saved. He has to take that away from you.
Listen. Can you show me in the scriptures where there's someone that didn't totally denounce their sin when they were saved?
Can I show you in the scripture?
Yeah, just show me. Because what you're telling me, this is what you're saying. And don't get me wrong. I totally understand that it's a process and we got to get there. But when we surrender, like, I mean, we're done. You know, Saul became Paul because he was, like, literally taking Christians and putting them in prison. I mean, you had folks that were just, I mean, they were out there. The disciples, they left everything to follow Jesus. I mean,
right.
Show me in the scriptures where you have someone who was still in sin and follow Jesus, and it was okay to be in sin until they got it. Like, where is that example?
It's not an example, but you know what? Experience is the best teacher sometimes. And if you can tell somebody, you know, if they confused, I understand, if you can tell someone, you know, that let the Lord lead you and guide you.
Yes.
They're not going to let the Lord lead you, and basically that's what you told her, but, you know, in so many ways. But she's like, well, you know.
All right, I'm going to give you an example, Sam. I got 30 seconds, Sam. This is what I'm going to tell you. You're in a burning building, and I say you got to get out. And you're like, you know, I understand. It's just not my conviction yet. I'll get out soon, but first I'm going to go to the other room. I'm going to take a nap. I mean—
yeah.
Until you decide, hey, wait a minute, are you going to trust what I'm saying? Get out of there. Now, you might get out and be like, man, I have remorse. I lost my everything in that house. I mean, you want to go back in, but it's gone. You got to make that move.
It doesn't happen overnight.
Okay. All right, Sam, listen, we got to go.
I agree.
Overnight.
I just encourage
listen,
her to let the Lord
I got
do
you.
It. And God
Thank
bless
you.
You.
Thank you so much, Sam. Appreciate it. All right.
All right. We are going to take a break. But with that said, we'd love to hear your comments. If you have a question for Marcos about your desires in your relationship and whether or not they are being fulfilled, reach out to us. Give us a call at 855-454-5905. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.